went out the door and there's nothing.
Yeah, like you're on the 30th floor of a high rise, and you've been polishing the floor somehow, and you have headphones on,
of course, and you're just enjoying your music.
Yeah.
Next thing you know,
you open up the door to buff the conference room floor.
It's gone.
It's gone.
And so is everything else.
Yeah.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I'm going to kick off today with some robot news. It turns out that Katie and I both had the same robot news,
can
so
you
know it's
this?
Good.
So listeners, we come into the studio each week with our own ideas. We don't talk to each other beforehand.
Nope. But as we've said before, great minds think alike.
Sometimes we just have this one, hey, you know it, mind that gravitates to the same material.
And this is a gem.
Yes.
So we've been talking about for a long time how everyone's freaked out. Robots are going to take their jobs. They're going to be doing everything. They're going to be podcasting. They're going to be taking care of old people, search and rescue. So this is a story from China. I think it was in Guangzhou. It seems that China, in a restaurant in China, has fired teams of artificially intelligent robot waiters after discovering the machines are unable to keep up with the human staff. So basically the robots didn't last very long at all on the job.
So
they were fired.
They hired a ton of robots and to wait tables, basically.
And I guess they kept a few humans on as well to like just kind of circulate, I guess, to be there. Yeah. So it says in the story that the robots cost $7,700 each. And require maintenance and electrical bills of a few hundred dollars a year. And they were saying that, you know, they're getting good cost savings because I'm not sure what the pay is, but whatever it was, it's obviously more than $7,700 for a person.
Oh, right. And you don't have to tip a robot, I would
You don't
imagine.
Have to tip them. You don't have to deal with them. They don't call in sick, this kind of stuff. But apparently, robots spill shit all over the place, which human waiters try not to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's I'm always impressed when I go to restaurants. It's rare that someone spills something.
Right.
It happens every once in a while, but apparently with the robots, it was happening all the time.
Yeah.
Like, they were knocking shit over. They were spilling people's food. It doesn't say that they tread on anyone's feet, but I imagine these guys have been, apparently, they've been fired. The quote from the restaurant owner is that the robots can attract plenty of customers, but they cannot reduce the need for human labor. So basically useless.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a waiter and you can't serve, you're done.
Can they clear tables at least? Can they keep them on to bus?
It didn't say that. It didn't say if they could work like in a more minor role.
Yeah.
Like backing up the regular waiters.
Can they marry ketchups in the bottle?
Can they wipe down tables?
Yeah.
Can they do anything like that? Can they escort people to their tables? Can they like bring the checks over or bring water? I don't know. But apparently they cannot.
Can they just come over and say the specials?
They can't move soup.
Which
is a big problem, I imagine. It's a huge problem here. I'm imagining in China there's lots of different soups, especially a soup is served a lot of time at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a standard thing.
Yeah.
So that's not going to go well.
Right.
And it says here in the article, apparently in 1983, a deli in Pasadena, California, hired a robot waiter that carried food and played disco music.
Oh.
But that didn't work out very well either. Probably because it was 1983 and disco music.
Was out.
So that's my robot news. So I guess you don't really have to be that concerned about robots taking over,
right?
Since they can't do something as simple as serve a soup.
Right.
Like I'm just wondering, like when they bought the robots, weren't they like, let's see how it goes first? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
let's see how it works.
Yeah, get one or two.
And was it fine, like in the interview process? But then when it came to like a lunch shift, it was like fuck, couldn't get anything done properly.
Yeah. Did the robots get severance?
I don't know. I'm just imagining that, like, those are some basic, like, if I'm going to get a robot to do something like that, it's got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, and if it can't, that's pretty much it. It's not like it does anything else. So now the robots are there just as an attraction, and then the waiters, once again, have to do the real work.
Yeah.
So much for robot overlords. All right, what do you have?
I have advice.
Oh, nice. So advice on advice is a segment we do where we found advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice, hence advice on advice. So who is this?
This is Dear Prudence.
Oh, nice. Okay. A classic.
All right. Though I personally hesitate to bring up this person's name, we're going to do it anyway because...
Is it Katie? Is it Ben Affleck?
No. Close. Okay. Dear Prudence, my husband supports Donald Trump and I find this very distracting.
distracting?
Or that's, disturbing.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm like, that's kind.
Yeah. He's never affiliated himself with either political party, and his views have always been a bit of a mixed bag.
But he is an angry old white racist dude, so.
Yeah. He's voted for both Republicans and Democrats in the past. Okay. While we've often disagreed on political issues, what I admired about him was his ability to think critically about issues and come to his own conclusions.
Yes. He just threw that out the window.
However, I just can't stomach his conclusion that Trump would be a qualified president. I find Trump's views repulsive. I just can't get past this, and I can't help to think that this reveals something about my husband's character that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Right?
You know, our friend Libby Emmons, a playwright who's been on the show twice, said that as men get older, they become more conservative because their power is waning.
Yeah.
And for women, it's the opposite.
Yeah, they become more women become more radical, yeah, and guys become more conservative.
Because that women discover their power and men realize that their power is not what they thought it was.
Right.
Hence Trump.
Yeah. Also, I find it embarrassing. I usually am pretty open-minded about other people's beliefs, but this is just proving to be a thorn in my side. How do I get past this? Or do I need to get past it?
That's a tough one, because you know what? I guess we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, on the way here, I was having something to eat in a deli, and I don't have any choices politically right now. I'm just not into anybody. But there was a commercial for Bernie Sanders. I don't watch a lot of TV. So I'm listening to this guy, and I'm like, wow, he's promising the moon. He's saying they're going to fix corruption.
Yeah.
There's going to be equal rights for people, women. I'm like, there's no way this guy's getting in office.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Right.
Equality?
Equality.
Equal, you know, fixing the politics? Nah. All right, so what is the
advice? Yeah, he's
optimistic.
He's really optimistic, and he's speaking to, like, the best in people.
Yes, but where are those people? He's speaking to, like, four nice people.
Yeah.
Somewhere in, like, Canada.
In Canada.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't believe they even let this guy be in politics talking about, like, fixing things.
Fixing things.
Getting things
doing
to work.
Something and making, and moving people forward.
Yeah, bringing people together.
Yeah.
He's insane.
Okay, so the advice is, you have unsurprisingly found a sympathetic listener in me. There are some instances where it's not always best to be open-minded, and this may be one of them.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that you should start berating your husband until he agrees with you politically, but that liking Trump is not part of your husband's personality, you need to gently accept. Yeah. You don't have to accept that.
No. I put that in the same category. Yeah, see this, because I feel that Trump is a bigot and that the things that he's spouting are, you know, bigoted.
And he's inciting people to take action on those.
Yeah,
on
he's
those
inciting,
points, yeah,
you know, bigoted violence. So, no, I'm not down with that.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think I could be married to someone who was into that.
Yeah. I think it's worth having a difficult conversation with him about this. What specifically about Trump's policies appeal to your husband?
The wall that he's going to build.
Right. The prospect of mass deportations, building a wall along the Mexican border. Restricting travel in the U.S.
Why does anyone think that's a good idea?
Restricting travel in the U.S. on the base of religion. That's more than a thorn in your side, I believe. These may be fundamental differences in how you think fellow human beings should be treated.
Yeah. That's a tough one. And it came out all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeesh. That's hard. I've heard that from white people, saying that they've been with someone or friends with another white person for a really long time, and then all of a sudden they're like, this person is a racist. It's like it just never came up.
It really,
you know?
It doesn't. It doesn't really come up because you talk about other things.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the point of, when you talk about politics, people usually just kind of shy away from it, and you don't have the discussions.
Yeah. Plus, you can be conservative. You can be a Republican and not be racist. We know people who are conservative and who are Republican. Mm-hmm.
This is not a grit your teeth till November situation, depending on how he answers. This may be a fundamental difference in your marriage as well. It is.
Like,
it's
is he going to start telling people? See, this is the weird thing about politics. I've never thought about this before. If you're going to be really supportive of a candidate like a Trump, and he doesn't make it, people are still going to remember that you supported this monster.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I think, problems in your professional life. It could be problems in your personal life. Not that I'm saying you should change your political beliefs. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, I never thought about that before. People who I've encountered who are like, I'm into Trump, I'm like, mental note.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never do anything with that person ever again. Avoid them at all costs.
Yeah, and I mean, you could see, like, people are Republican or Democrat as, like, a fundamental difference. Like, oh, I believe in big government or small government. And those are your philosophies on how things should be run. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I'm a libertarian. I'm very unpopular. But, you know.
But when you're talking about a candidate that's so hateful and is spurring on hate in others.
And is ignorant.
Right.
Right. Like, let's not leave that part out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
There was a segment on Nightline about couples who are breaking up
over Trump? Trump,
and then another.
Is it called "I Didn't Know I Was Dating a Racist"? Piece of shit.
There was a what was the website called? It's something about no love if you support Trump or something like that, or like basically telling women
withhold. What is that? There's a Greek drama that is the base.
Yes,
is it Pericles? Yes.
No, Sandra.
Maybe Sandra, where they like we're withholding until this war's over.
Yeah, that's what it was, and they referred to that as well. But it's not just like, oh, you know, use it as a manipulation. But it's like, are you really going to continue a relationship with somebody who is like this?
Are you
going to
let this guy put it in you after he's been like endorsing Trump in a wall?
Yeah,
and that's interesting.
And misogyny.
Yeah.
Really going?
That's
to...
right, because he's pretty much he's said negative things about everybody.
Yeah,
he's talked about Mexicans, immigrants in general, Muslims, anyone who's not Christian in general, anyone who's not a man.
Yeah,
anyone who's not white. Like it's you know it's, he's covered all bases.
It's funny because when people say things like, oh, you know, against other women. And you're dating somebody like that. He doesn't mean, oh, not you.
Just no, he means you too.
He means you too.
Yeah. It's funny, Trump was just out in Staten Island. I'm like, that says all that it needs to say.
Oh,
no comment. All right,
so.
This is a tough one.
So, yeah, I think that this kind of thing, I don't know. I've dated guys, and then when I found out they liked George W. Bush.
You were like, I'm out of here.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't.
I'm like, this is closed. Yeah, I dated a guy one time and then found out during the course of a relationship he was anti-Semitic. I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, I don't have a problem with you. I'm like, but I have a problem with you.
Yeah.
Because, like, did you not know it's all of my Jewish friends?
Yeah.
Did you not, you know, like, come on. Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a pretty open and shut one.
Yeah, so it's not just though our political views aren't aligned. It's
yeah.
Like, oh, you're a bigot.
Yeah, because like I'm a libertarian. My husband is a Republican. Mm-hmm. We get along fine. We agree on a lot of things. He is not supporting Trump.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't think Trump's a real Republican, though. That's another whole... I think he's just... there. Where else can he go?
Yeah.
We don't have a bigot party.
Yeah.
Like an openly just bigots party. Maybe we will after this. The Trump party. Maybe he'll start his own thing and just the bigots can go there.
Yeah, exactly.
They can all gather in Staten Island and, I don't know, but burn things. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, whatever the bigots
build. Do. They could build a wall around Staten Island.
Yeah, right.
I'll help. So I have some wine news.
Wine news?
Yeah, not really a segment, but I like to keep an eye on what's going on there with wine. So this one says Third Wine's Charm.
Okay.
So there's a Brazilian photographer who has been having a series of parties at his house where he invites his friends over and he photographs the people at the beginning of the party and then he photographs them after one glass of wine, mm-hmm. after two glasses of wine, and after three glasses of wine, and he puts all the photographs together.
With me, it would be like, flash, flash, flash.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, you better be here fast.
Yeah.
So the first photo is just, he said everyone is looking like stressed out because they've just got there from work. They had, apparently this is... Where is he? He's somewhere in Sao Paulo, so people are driving there, like, to try to get to his place, and they're coming in late. They're all stressed out, and they look kind of like furrowed brow.
Mm-hmm.
The second picture he takes it, he stamps the bottom with one wine glass mm-hmm. to show that it's after one wine, people are happy, they're smiling a little bit.
Relaxed.
So, yeah, relaxed. He said with each succeeding glass, people get more disheveled.
Yeah.
Hair that was neat is now just thrown up like in a ponytail or like stuck up somehow. Collars are loosened. People are smiling. Some people were laughing. People were doubled over.
Oh.
So it just showed the progression of it. But he said that the interesting thing was that even if it was a seasoned wine drinker, I guess that'd be persons like ourselves.
Seasoned with the taste of white wine, yes.
Or people who barely drink at all.
Yeah.
He said that it was the same level of relaxation.
Oh.
So, like, our three glasses of wine
relaxes
us as much as the three glasses of wine of someone who drinks wine, like, twice a year.
Oh.
A little disappointing.
Okay.
Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the person who doesn't drink that much should be getting more relaxation out of the three glasses.
Yeah.
And I should be getting less out of the three glasses.
Well.
Because of the amount of glasses I drink.
Yeah. But still, it's good to know that you're steady.
We're the same. Yeah. I'm fine. I'm at three. You're at three.
Yeah.
We're all good. But I thought that was interesting. So I was thinking, maybe the next time I go out for a drink, I should take a picture of the beginning of the evening. Well, and after I'll stop after three glasses. Because I don't want to turn into a horror show.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can... I don't want to stamp a picture of me with 10 glasses of wine at the bottom.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have to distribute them across the bottom of the photograph. Like the little icons. But it's a face and a wall and three glasses of wine. It's called Three Glasses Later. And the guy's called Marcos Alberti. And he made like a little exhibit out of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
The pictures are nice.
Yeah.
Like he's a professional photographer. He photographed all kinds of people. DJs, musicians, models, art directors, and teachers. Mm-hmm. I don't know how teachers got in.
Well, they're the ones that need to relax the most, yes. I think.
And teachers. I'm like, models, aren't they already relaxed? Mm-hmm. How did they get through three glasses of wine? Anyway, so yeah, wine news.
That's very nice. Wine, I know.
A lot. I do too. I kind of, like, I don't have a lot of pictures of myself after drinking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably for good, you know, good reason. We can make it up to three glasses, it'll be fine.
That's it.
We'll Instagram it.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
Well, I was Googling around the internet.
Googling around?
Yeah, that's like what that. I do. Googling around the internet, as I do.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say as one does, because that's something that I do.
Yeah, well, I just Google.
Yeah.
I don't Google around. I don't Google around, man. I get right to it.
I was like, what's going on? And then I thought, what was going on 100 years ago?
Okay.
How have things changed?
Oh, God.
So this is like the news, U.S. events and news.
Okay. 100 years ago.
From 1916.
Okay.
Okay. So the president was Woodrow Wilson. The population was 101 million. Montana voters elected a 36-year-old Republican named Jeanette Rankin, the first woman to serve in the U.S. Congress.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Where was this again?
Yeah, and then, let's see, Margaret Sanger opened the first birth control. Right, she was the one.
Polarizing figure.
Yeah, she established the organizations that evolved into Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, unfortunately she was into the eugenics movement.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The results of it, her clinics, I'm all right with.
Right.
So
she felt that, you know, women should have contraception.
100 years ago.
Yeah, sex education.
People are still struggling with this right now.
Yeah, and she also wanted to prevent unsafe abortions, so-called back alley abortions, which were common at the time because abortions were usually illegal.
I can't even imagine what people were doing 100 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Probably the safe abortions 100 years ago weren't that great.
Yeah, oh, sure.
So I can't even imagine what people were doing, like, in the, you know, on the prairie.
Yeah, there was this story about this woman named Sadie who became extremely ill due to a self-induced abortion.
Jeez.
And afterward, Sadie begged the attending doctor to tell her how she could prevent this from happening again. And the doctor advised her to remain abstinent. 100 years ago.
Yes.
Right?
Nothing has changed.
And so a few months later, Margaret Sanger was called back to Sadie's apartment, only this time Sadie died after attempting another abortion.
Oh, wow.
And so Sanger, the story said, I threw my nursing bag in the corner and announced I would never take another case until I made it possible for working women in America to have the knowledge to control birth.
And she says working women, so obviously the rich ladies had access
yes.
to all these things.
Yeah,
it's
of
so
course,
interesting.
Of course. So, yeah, this was going on 100 years ago.
And still going on today.
And still back the same.
Yes.
Same. Fight.
But this is exactly what people are talking about, why you have to be on top of things like this. This has been going on for 100 years. These people are not going to give this up.
Yeah.
They are not going to give it up. Interesting.
In other news here, Charlie Chaplin signs with Mutual Studios and earns an unprecedented $10,000 a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. $10,000 a week is a lot of money now.
Nobody made that then.
But now it's a lot of money. I'll take that.
Albert Einstein completes his mathematical formulation for a general theory of relativity, which
okay.
is gravity, and in the World Series, Boston Red Sox and Brooklyn played against each other, and then Wimbledon, it was not held due to World War I.
They called it off. Interesting.
So that was going out 100
years 100 years ago.
Isn't that fascinating?
$10,000. So I can't even imagine how Charlie Chaplin was living. On $10,000.
Right.
He must have been just ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
He must have been, like, lighting his cigar with a $10 bill.
He must have.
Like, you
he
couldn't spend money fast. And, oh, who knows? Who knows what he was spending money on?
He must have been throwing coins out the window. Here, son, buy a turkey. It's Christmas.
$10,000 a week? Wow. I like it. So, I'd said in the past that we kind of neglected ufology a bit. So, I want to make up for it. It's not a tale from Dirk Campfire.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ufology spotlight, I guess. So apparently last year, 2015, was a big year for Canadian UFO sightings.
That's what your friend Allison D.
Oh, she said that was a lot of sightings?
Just recently she posted that on
Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook. Wow.
Yeah.
So this is like something that's going on in Canada. Okay.
Yeah.
So it says, Canada experienced a very high number of reported UFO sightings in 2015, according to an annual survey released in Winnipeg by Winnipeg, Manitoba-based ufology research. Mm-hmm. I just like the word ufology.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. So, Chris...
That's the name of your album by Dull Unit.
It's ufology.
Ufology.
Chris Wukowski, I think I said that right, one of the researchers that compiled the survey told the CBC that reported sightings in Canada last year were the second highest since the survey began in 1989. So it hasn't been going on that long. Mm-hmm. In 2015, there were 1,267 reported sightings, which is up like 250 sightings from the year before.
Oh.
So that's a big increase.
It is, yeah.
Because it's not a huge number. The most reported sightings was in 2012, which was, you know, doomsday year, mm-hmm. where people saw 1,981. They got this information from looking at news reports and media investigations, also from MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network in Canada, and then the Francophone, Groupe d'Assistance de Recherche sur le Phénomène Aérospatial Non Identifié. And this is why French
doesn't... Your French is beautiful, by the way.
This is why French doesn't catch on. That's too long.
Yeah.
It's too long. Because they don't want to use UFO. Their acronym is GARPAN. That does not... I like MUFON better. GARPAN. So last year, there were an unusual number of cases in Quebec. I don't know what the usual number is. 88% of the sightings can be explained.
Good.
Which
That's
leaves
good.
The other 12% of mystery.
Hmm.
You know? Also, it says earlier this year, and this is the interesting part of this article for me, the CIA opened its X-Files because the amount of time has passed from the 40s and 50s so that can be decommissioned or whatever. Or declassified.
Declassified, yeah.
Not decommissioned. We threw them out. They declassified them.
Go through the bin yourself.
Yeah. So I guess we're going to be getting a lot more information about what people thought they saw in the 40s and 50s, mm-hmm. which I think during that time, like if you threw like a pie tin in the air.
Yeah, people were like, nah, I don't know what that is.
And they said that sometime last week, Mark Zuckerberg and Stephen Hawking and an investor named Yuri Milner are going to embark upon a $100 million project to seek life in outer space. Not a bad idea, but what they're doing is they're trying to figure out if they can send a swarm of tiny spacecraft to the Alpha Centauri system. That if I saw that coming and I was an Alpha Centauri, I was like, it's an attack.
Yeah,
like that's it.
Blast
like
it.
A swarm of tiny little spaceships. Like you think it's bees, like space bees, something nice. Space butterfly upon closer inspection.
Well, the word swarm has a really negative connotation. So if they start saying swarm out loud. People over here from
Alpha Centauri.
Other galaxies. It's like, no.
Or maybe it's going to fly into someone's room and they're just going to swat the whole thing and throw it away and not even think about it.
Yeah.
Be like, ugh, another one of those.
Another
nano swarm. So annoying in the summers here. Alpha Centauri is not what it used to be. So they're trying to send out a swarm into Alpha Centauri to see what's going to happen. Stephen Hawking just won't stop.
He won't.
I think he might be from outer space. Maybe he's just trying to get back home. He's a man who fell to earth.
Maybe.
And he's disappointed. He's like, get me out of here.
You know what? Nobody gives enough credit to his wife.
Didn't he leave his first wife?
Yeah.
Is that what that movie's about? I would not let him leave me.
Oh, no. Well, the thing
I put a lock on his wheels.
In the movie, though, like, they were in college together and they fell in love.
Okay.
And honestly.
You watched the movie? Yeah, of course, because it's a romantic movie.
They fell in love and he got sick and he was only supposed to live another year or two. And she was like, I'll be with you until the day you die.
Mm-hmm. He's outliving a lot of people.
Yeah. So the progression, they had kids and she busted her ass.
I didn't know he had children.
Yeah, he had kids. They were able to have sex and have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she's doing all the work.
Yeah, of course. And he was wealthy, too, right? He comes from a wealthy background, I believe?
Because
he was at Oxford, right?
Yeah, to an extent. But
she did everything.
She did everything, taking care of him at home. And, like, the what you have to go through to help somebody get out of bed.
Especially during that time.
And then making sure he could eat and swallow and all of that.
And I'm imagining things weren't really...
accessible.
Yeah, things were not accessible. That's the
she's
right word.
The wheelchair stuck in the mud. And
yeah,
she's digging it out.
Jeez, and he left her.
And well, she was getting. She was just kind of like, not as awful to be like, when are you gonna no, by the farm. It wasn't like that at all. But it was just like, you could see the exhaustion.
Yeah, you don't think that's going to be your whole life. And they were young.
Yeah, and so it went on for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And then she had started to fall in love with somebody else.
Naturally.
And, you know, and then he had his own thing going on with his nurse.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would not. I'm sorry. That man would not be leaving me. No way. No way. He'd be like, who put these locks on her? I'd be like, don't worry about it. I don't know if this is true, but I heard
they were both ready to go.
He had a second wife. I heard he left her, too. What has this guy got going on?
I hear also that I read.
He's a grab ass somehow.
That the second wife, I think, they got into an argument, and she left him out in the sun.
Here's what I'm saying. If you're in that kind of condition, maybe don't be arguing with the person who's taking care of you. Like, she probably just put the brake on and was like, see you.
Yeah.
And he just had to sit out there in the hot ass sun and think about it.
Yeah. Boy.
She probably like, call me a bitch again. Like, wow. Amazing. Yeah. All right. So, so what do you have?
I have here listener mail.
Oh, cool. So if you send us an email to heyyouknowit@gmail.com, we will read it on the air.
Yeah. So this one is FYI, Elizabeth Gilbert Brooks. Books.
Who?
FYI, Elizabeth Gilbert Books.
Okay.
Okay. Hey guys, just a quick FYI, Elizabeth Gilbert did write other books besides Eat, Pray, Love.
I guess I could have Googled around and saw that.
Yeah. Again, keep up the excellent work. Best, Sid.
That's it?
Thank you, Sid. Yeah.
Did we ask?
What?
We probably asked. Did she write anything else? If anybody knows, because we refused to look it up.
Yeah. So there was a link included, a Wikipedia link.
Oh, cool. Gilbert. Nice.
So, again, thank you for pointing out this research that we
just did not do at all.
Not to. So Elizabeth Gilbert wrote Eat, Pray, Love, and we talked about it in depth.
Yes.
At length.
We gave it the business.
And we did. But I looked at the link, and yeah, she did write other books, but she also grew up on a Christmas tree farm.
Really?
In Connecticut.
Wow.
I would have loved that. It would have smelled so good.
I mean, I guess, but then you have to go through the pain every year of chopping down all your friends.
Yeah, I guess.
And shipping them to Manhattan.
Yeah.
So she wrote all the books. Did you follow the link?
Yeah, I did. It was a Wikipedia link, and it just was about her and the books she wrote.
But, like, what other kind of books did she write? Are they all, like, inspirational crap?
I don't know.
Okay. You don't Boo.
I know, right? I didn't jot it down, but I did go. But the Christmas tree thing.
That stuck with you?
Yeah, captured my imagination.
Where's that book? That's interesting.
I know. Well, she'd have a love story about love amongst the trees.
Yeah, something interesting. Yeah. Something real. So I have something here. Katie and I are always talking about the robo-apocalypse. We know it's going to happen. This is my nightmare. Is the headline. 3D printer produces robot that gets up and walks away. What attitude? So it prints.
Don't you walk away from me.
Yes.
It's what I was made to do.
It says it sounds like something out of a science fiction movie like Blade Runner. Not really. That's much more interesting. But researchers at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab, a.k.a. CSAIL, can't they come up with anything, have developed new 3D printing process that creates robots that are fully functional from the moment they come off the printer.
Nice.
So it they've managed to print here. It's a 3D hexapod. It has a single motor. It has six legs. This thing looks like a tiny plastic mite. It's gross.
Ew.
It is, all you have to do is stick a battery and a motor in it. So it doesn't walk right off the assembly line. I want something that's like, comes off the assembly line, stretches its legs a little bit. It's like, and then gets right to it. But you have to put the battery in it. It has six legs.
Six?
It's 6 inches long.
Ooh.
See?
All
it's
right.
A little tiny, like, insect.
All right.
That the moment it gets printed, it just starts scurrying around. It's 1.5 pounds and less than
That's
6 inches.
Heavy.
It's heavy.
That's heavy for 6 inches.
So you're not just going to flick this thing away.
No.
Like, my idea of me being able to smash everything will soon be gone.
No.
It's an inkjet printer that drops material that is less than half the width of a single human hair. So it prints that small.
Okay.
The object is printed layer by layer, top to bottom. A high-intensity UV light solidifies the material, except for the liquid. So it prints solids, and there's also some kind of a liquid it's able to print as well that stays liquid.
Okay.
Which I think is weird. And then it has different kinds of other materials as well. So it says, of course, it's going to eventually be used for disaster.
Yeah.
Yes,
or search and rescue.
That's exactly
search
not...
Search and rescue in my pants.
Yeah, search and rescue, exactly. And not you know, spying on people.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, attacking people with a very small syringe or something like that. Or crawling into someone's mouth and choking them to death. No, definitely for a search and rescue.
Yeah. I got you.
If I am trapped under some rubble and I see an army of these things coming, I'll be dead from fright by the time the people from search and rescue coming. If I see little bugs crawling towards me, like mechanical bugs? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. It's bizarre. So yeah, my idea of being a printed robot is like you just print like a dude up and then he just runs, like the last part is he runs off. You know what I mean? Like he starts talking. You know, you print his head first and he starts talking a little bit, then you print the rest of him, and then by the end, he just like gets up and goes to wait tables or something.
That's a great idea.
If we need something on the spot, if I need X robot right now, just print it up.
And print it. You know how we like to have one robot for each task?
Yes.
We don't think that they can do multiple things.
I have the robot that just opens a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
I could print that up.
Yeah.
And then I'll print up another one.
Yeah.
I can pour it.
Yeah.
And a third one, bring it over.
Yeah.
Like, those would be my robots. So, yeah, that 3D printer produces robot that gets up and walks away. I just imagine it being like, piss off.
Yeah.
And that's the last we see of it.
Got the four R's.
The four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair.
To all members, 40th Street. Hashtag Bonfire NYC.
All right, what do you have?
Did we thank Sid for the email? I want to say thank you.
Yeah.
For the email.
Taking all right, thanks very much.
Yeah. But also... I have Reality Roundup.
Okay, so this Reality Roundup is a segment that I kind of do every once in a while where I go on the internet and I find news of reality TV shows. Now Katie has done it.
Well, this is the thing, because it's a follow-up on something that you reported a while ago. This is Tyler Henry.
Okay.
Hollywood Medium.
Psychic. Or Medium, excuse me.
Yes.
Well, I don't know the difference.
So I remember I was laughing about it, like, ha-ha, whoever this guy is.
Meanwhile.
So, watch the show. Now I record the show. I can't get enough.
Are
of
you kidding
Tyler
me?
Henry.
What is the show about?
It's Tyler Henry, and he's the Hollywood Medium. Yes. And he is 19 years old.
He's he's been working for 10 years, we established.
Yeah, 10 years he's been doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He's delightful. He's polite and sweet. And the way it works is that he has a manager, and then clients contact the manager.
Okay.
And the manager just gives him an address, and then somebody drives him over, either his mother or the agent's assistant.
He can't drive. He's 19.
No, because he needs to start picking up the vibes.
Oh, okay, yeah. And you can't do that when you're behind the wheel.
Yeah. And so he's kind of getting like some kind of image or some kind of vibe start coming to him. So he starts talking about it in the car on the way over a little bit. Like,
and that's when the show starts.
Yeah. And then he goes, he's like, I don't even know who I'm going to see. I don't know where I'm going. He goes to a door and boom, there's a celebrity.
Well, I guess if you're saying that you're a psychic or a medium, like you don't really need to do anything
to
prepare. This is a job that requires no work on your part. Sorry, let the spirit world do all the work for you.
So then he gets in there and he has a pad of paper and a pen and he just starts like doodling.
Okay.
Because it's relaxing, and that's when
I think he was bored. That's what I do when I'm sitting in GIS class, and I don't care what's going on.
And he starts doing. He goes, "Oh, this is interesting. What's coming through?" And then he starts talking, and he gets super specific about stuff, and the people are always astonished. And
so, who is it? Always celebrities?
Yeah, it's always a celebrity. It could be anybody.
Because I know he was working, or he said he was working with Snooki. Is she still a celebrity?
I know.
So what have you? What episode did you see? What celebrity did you see?
I have seen Margaret Cho.
Oh, really, Margaret Cho?
Oh, she loves that stuff. She is into it.
Really? I didn't know. I like Margaret Cho.
I like Margaret Cho. She was on an episode of, what is it, a podcast. I think it was Risk, where she was telling a story about the house she rented, and it was haunted. And
I had no idea. Yeah. I've seen her a couple times, many, many, many years ago. Yeah. I saw her doing comedy/storytelling kind of stuff live. She's fascinating. Yeah. That's awesome. So he channeled the spirit for her.
Yeah. Well, it told her what was going on.
Okay. And at least he's giving people the business.
Yeah. He could tell you. He had the three brothers. Who was it? The three Lawrence brothers. You know, Joey Lawrence from Blossom.
There's two more Lawrences?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I probably thought they were all the same one.
He told them all what's going on.
They go, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's That's so now you're into the show.
I am so into it, and he's so sweet.
Okay. Wow, that's very interesting. It has ways to make money.
Yeah, so I was like, gosh, how much does he cost? Because these people are getting ratings. I'm like, imagine they're being paid to be
on the show. These, like, celebrities that are famous to semi-famous are probably happy for some publicity.
Yeah.
Like the Lawrence brothers?
Yeah. So how much does it cost for an appointment with Tyler Henry?
Okay.
There's a large demand. It's unclear.
How much do you have is the question. How much can you spare?
There's a waiting list. It's almost 15,000 entries long.
He'll never get to them.
Yeah.
He better hurry up before his, you know, people start to not be so interested in
him. Yeah, yeah. So there, for people like you and me, the ways to get a reading with him, if you don't want to wait 6 months, is that you can enter a giveaway. Mm-hmm. On his Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter pages, you have an opportunity to apply for a shot for a free reading. Let's see. Then be open to a non-traditional reading where he will give away a free Skype reading.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go into his audience. I think when appearing on the episode of The Talk, he did a reading for some members of the audience.
So does he have a kind of a show where there's a live audience every time?
No, no. Okay. There's no live audience at all. But when he's on a show that has a live audience.
He'll throw out some readings.
Yeah.
If you're wow. And that's so bizarre.
That's all you can get with Tyler.
I never understand our country at all. Like, on one hand, we have all these, like, you know, super conservative mm-hmm. people who are against everything. But then this is obviously, like, really popular, right?
Another thing, he is, like, a little tiny, slim guy, but he sweats buckets. Sweating, like, you could just see the perspiration beating up on his forehead and going
really?
Down. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Huh. Who knew? All right, I like that one. All right, it sounds like the world is ending out there. There's a lot of bass.
There is a lot of bass, and you can feel it coming through the floor.
Yes.
Maybe somebody's jackhammering downstairs.
Oh, it could be. I thought it was just some really, like, just tenacious band going at it. Or it could be a jackhammer. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
Or floor by floor underneath us, it's dropping away.
Yes. Eventually, we're going to be downtown.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, on the bottom floor.
Yeah.
Still recording.
Yeah, of course, because we're professionals.
We're going to open up the door. There's going to be nothing out there. It's going to be like just the sun.
Yeah.
Like, what
like
happened?
On San Andreas.
Yes. Well, every movie does that. I've seen so many movies where they, like, open up the door and there's nothing.
Yeah, like you're on the 30th floor of a high rise, and you've been polishing the floor mm-hmm. somehow, and
headphones on.
You have headphones on.
Of course.
On.
And you're just enjoying your music.
Yeah.
Next thing you know,
you open up the door to buff the conference room floor.
It's gone.
It's gone.
And so is everything else.
Yeah.
And then they pull away from you to go to the real stars
yeah.
in the movie.
Yeah.
Because you had your 5 minutes of fame. So I found something out here. So apparently they found a pregnant Tyrannosaurus Rex. Well, dead, obviously. That is 68 million years old.
Nice.
And it was found in Montana.
So you can have babies when you're older.
Yeah. Well, no. It was a teen. Oh. It's 68 million years old, but at the time of death, they estimate that the T-Rex was between 16 and 20 years old.
Oh, so
young
so
teen
was
mom.
Young teen. Education was cut off at the quick.
Yes. Along with her life.
Yeah.
So apparently.
Shotgun wedding.
Yes. So they know that she was pregnant because she had what's called a medullary bone that reveals a pregnancy. So medullary.
And everyone always said she was very slutty.
Yes.
That's how they knew.
She was always up to no good.
Yeah.
Skulking around.
With those little arms.
With her little arms hanging out
yeah.
for everyone to see. So the medullary bone is only present in birds, modern birds, mm-hmm. just before or during egg laying. And what it is a bone that develops. It has extra calcium in it. Mm-hmm. And that's the calcium that the animal pulls from in order to make the shell. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to pull calcium from its own bones and they're, you know, thereby weakening its own birds.
Sure.
So it's just interesting because they're talking about this like, oh, it's so exciting. It's another piece of evidence that links birds to dinosaurs and all that kind of stuff. But really, the story is now that they found pregnant T-Rex, maybe they can get some pregnant T-Rex DNA out of it. And boom, Jurassic Park 1.
Yeah.
The breeding.
The breeding.
Of raptors.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not mentioned in the article, but that's what I was thinking about. It's like, now that they found this pregnant T-Rex, like,
let's suck out the DNA and get to work.
Let's see if we can get, like, a T-Rex going. I know they'd love to make one, you know, for search and rescue.
Yeah.
definitely. All right, what do you have?
I have here, well, another barnyard news. Speaking of birds, because the dinosaurs are related to birds, as you were saying.
Yeah, they weren't when we were kids.
Yeah.
But now they are.
Now they are.
Their tails used to drag the ground, and they were not birds.
Yeah.
Now they're birds, now and they're their birds. Tails stick up.
This is, a study says that city birds are smarter than country birds.
That's rude.
Birds living in urban environments are smarter than birds from rural environments.
Were the urban birds like picking up on the three-card Monty faster than the country birds got fleeced?
Yeah, why do these birds have an edge?
I lost my eggs and everything.
I just feel like, you know, there's just so much more going on in a city that they have to learn. You have to learn fast.
If a country bird came to the city, I'm from the country, I had to wise up fast.
Yeah,
you get flushed out the other side.
The environment. I think, for human beings, I think if you drive a car in New York City, there's something like 250 distractions per block.
Wow.
That you have to be aware of. You simply don't have that in the country.
No, you don't. You have to pay attention. You can read a book.
Right. Right. So, I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So any kind of living being in a city,
you conform
to
your environment.
Right. Okay, so
we defend the country bird's right to be an ignorant piece of shit. And just fly around without paying any attention.
Wow, just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
In a first-ever study to find clear cognitive differences in birds from urbanized compared to rural areas, mm-hmm. the researchers report key differences in problem-solving abilities, such as opening drawers to access food.
What about attitude?
Temperament. Yep. the bolder.
Cursing and stuff like that. Like, were some of the city birds like, did you drop something over here, buddy?
Or they hit the buildings as they fly by. I'm flying here.
Yeah.
Get in my way.
Move it.
Yeah, because that's what we do when we're crossing the street.
Yeah.
I've hit taxis with my
hands. Yes, I have kicked a taxi on many occasions.
Yeah. And you cross the street, and if they try to edge into the crosswalk,
yeah,
you
have to hit them.
You have to hit the the hood of the car, and you say, I'm walking.
Yeah. I have this dream of inventing some kind of a bionic fist that I can use to smash a taxi cab if they try to, like, edge me out. Okay. So they have more tood.
So they tested them, and so these learning tasks and their attitudes are very much different.
Attitudes. Bird
we found that not only were birds from urbanized areas better at innovative problem-solving tasks.
But they steal.
But surprisingly, urban birds also had better immunity.
Okay. Well, they have
birds.
To be, otherwise you're not going to make it.
Yeah, you have to. Just like, yeah, because you're exposed to everything. So imagine you have to be strong.
I saw a bird the other day with one foot. He was fine. Just doing his thing. He's making it work.
Yeah. But I remember years and years ago when I waited tables in New York, there was a time I never got sick. I was like, how is this possible? I'm being exposed to every human
That's
being
why.
Passing through. Because I had so much, you had to build an immunity against it. So these birds, yeah, sure. They have to do the same.
It's interesting. I just started working in a school again, and I've already gotten sick like 8 times.
Oh,
but when I worked in elementary school, I got sick the first semester, but then after that, I was immune to everything.
Yeah, you're going to build it up again.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be, like, robust.
Exactly. I lost it after those years of not being around kids.
Yeah.
And I wasn't exposed to as many germs.
Right.
All right, so they have more attitude.
Yeah, so they have more attitude.
And they're smarter.
They're smarter, and they have a stronger immune system.
So what does it say what the tests were?
They said opening drawers to access food and...
So just theft, basically.
Yeah.
They just wanted to see if they could break into things.
Yeah.
Could they strip a car, these birds?
Probably.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I found a bit of penis news here.
Oh, boy. This is your segment.
I tweeted this out, and people found it to be quite amusing, because I tweeted it with the caveat that when your penis is the bomb. So apparently, a town in central Germany had a day to remember when a vibrating penis ring inadvertently caused a bomb scare.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm thinking it was on someone's penis.
That's what I think, too.
Apparently.
That's the first place I went.
Yes. Because isn't that where a penis ring would be?
Yeah.
But apparently, somebody, it was at a casino, and a staff member heard a strange humming noise coming out of the trash can in the men's bathroom and then rang the police. Apparently, somebody had taken off their penis ring,
mm-hmm.
thrown it into the trash can. The thing, it continued to vibrate. And they thought it was a bomb.
They didn't turn it off.
Oh,
it probably broke. It probably stayed on. And that's why they had to throw it.
They had to throw it. It was too much. They couldn't handle it. They couldn't walk around properly. It was throwing them off their game gambling-wise. So, like, fuck it. I'm taking this thing off, throwing it away. It continued to vibrate. They evacuated the place and then 90 people. And they brought in the bomb squad to retrieve a dick ring. So.
Oh, how about the lucky soldier that got in there and had to fish it out with their finger?
They're saying whoever deposited this object intentionally isn't, they don't know who it is. We don't know if it's intentional or not, but you're never going to find the owner of this cock ring.
Nobody's
going to
say
it. No one's going to say it. I dare you to swab that and come up with something.
Yeah.
Like, it's been in the trash can.
Yeah.
It could be anything. So I just thought that was really interesting. So I had no idea. I haven't seen a vibrating cock ring ever. I'm going to be honest with you. Apparently it's something else.
Really?
It must be really loud if people thought it was some kind of a bomb or something. I don't know if I would assume it was a bomb if it were buzzing. Because doesn't a bomb, like, tick?
My bomb
is from, like, Warner Brothers cartoons. Yeah. It has a clock on it.
A clock on it. And the ringers.
Yes, and sticks of dynamite.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I feel like... And the only other thing I know about a bomb is C4 mm-hmm. with, I think it was like Rush Hour or something with Chris Tucker. That's it. So I don't know why a buzzing noise would automatically be a bomb. I might think it was a phone.
Yeah.
Or, but I don't know if somebody's I would think phone. It was a bomb. I probably, my dumbass, I'd probably be like, hey, what is it? Shake it around.
Yeah, you'd be reaching in. Yeah,
you're reaching in. Fuck, a cock ring. Oh, man. Really? A cock ring? Why?
Here, I have a bonus advice.
Oh, nice. Bonus.
Okay. Can I tell my boyfriend his hair looks bad?
Yes.
My boyfriend is a great guy. Extremely helpful, loving, reliable, and supportive. Easily the best guy I've ever been with. We've been dating for 4 months now. My problem seems silly. For every special occasion, wedding, fancy dinner, meeting family, interview, etc., he styles his hair in a way that's incredibly unflattering.
What?
When he does nothing to make his hair beyond... washing and drying. It looks great. Really nice, actually, which makes it all the more frustrating that he insists on messing with it. It ends up looking wet and having stringy tendrils curling over his forehead.
Ew.
Yeah. I tried praising his hair without product a ton, letting him know how really great it looks that way.
He's lucky. So this is one of the people that just steps out of the shower and is like, boom, hair is done.
Yeah. I'm afraid I need to be more clear about the fix didn't do, but I'm wondering if that crosses a line. I don't want to criticize someone that is just about perfect in my book, but I also don't want him going around looking like a character from Grease. What should I do?
Wow.
So he's usually normally fine.
Yeah.
Out, no
hair looks great.
And he's like, I need to kick it up a notch for this wedding.
Make it look good.
Yeah.
This is a tough one because I'm not really good at this. I'm not good at telling people nicely about things like that. I'd probably be like, yo, you look like a dick. And it'd probably be the end of the relationship. Yeah. There's no way. It's like there's no nice way to tell someone that their breath is stank.
Mm-hmm.
At least not for me.
Yeah.
No matter how I say it, it's going to be bad. So hopefully this woman seems nicer than I am. She's not as much of an asshole. And she can find a way to say it. But I wonder, are other people looking at his hair like, ugh?
I would imagine. Like, if it's really
bad. If he's looking like someone from Grease. Like if he looks like he should be in a doo-wop band.
Yeah. And the advice is, how many special occasions have you come up in just 4 months that this is a significant problem?
Yeah, I was thinking about that too.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they're out in the town all the time. He's just greasing up.
Tell the man you don't like his hair styled that way. Maybe he'll take your input and try something different. Maybe he'll laugh it off and tell you he loves his teddy bear pompadour. And you'll have to learn to deal with it. Well, why not? I mean...
I feel like that's something you gotta say something now. Don't wait. Yeah. Don't wait any longer. If it really looks shitty...
Mm-hmm.
It could be a thing where it's not just that she doesn't like it, but maybe other people are looking at it and making judgments on it.
But if he's a great guy all around the other way.
And he just wants to wear like a Fontaine.
Yeah.
Like a poop.
Has anyone ever criticized something about you that you don't, and you're like, what?
Probably not before I've had a chance to.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I usually get the self-criticism pretty early.
Right, right.
But I also ask my friends.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do I look like an asshole?
Yeah.
And then you guys say either yes, you look like an asshole, or no, you don't look like an asshole.
I once had a friend tell me, like, don't take offense, but you need to wear better clothes. And I was like, I know, because I knew it.
You need to wear better clothes.
Yeah.
Was she specific about what better meant?
It was just because I was wearing a lot of really casual clothes, and
hey,
then
man.
talking about work.
Were you rocking like a starter sweatsuit or something? Like a Lakers zip up sweatsuit? suit with the ripaway pants and some shell top Adidas. And you were like, what's the problem?
No. It was really more along the lines of casual to dressing for work. But I was like, I know you need to dress. I know I need new clothes and I need to be dressier.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. That would be my reaction, too. If somebody was like, you need to. I know you always comb the front of your afro.
Yeah.
But there's a little part in the back that you can't see that everybody else can. But yeah, I know about that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, here's a pick. You do it.
Yeah.
It's clearly beyond the realm of things that I can do. Yeah. Like the dressing better. I'd like to dress better, too. If someone was like, hey, man, you look, you know, your clothes look kind of beat. I'd be like, yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. Because, you know.
Anybody want to help me out with that? Right. Maybe you can take me to Saks.
Yeah.
Maybe you know a tailor who you'd like to pay for to help me with my duds.
Yeah.